Merry Christmas.
And welcome to the Deuce Podcast. I'm Brad.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we are doing film number two in our Christmas movies.
Yes.
We decided to do a comic book movie.
Right? Oh, yeah. And we've talked about this one for a long time. We were going to do this one before, but decided to save it for later on in the year when we did our other comic book movies. Decided it was time to save it.
So we are doing Batman Returns.
Yep. Batman Returns. It was the follow-up to Tim Burton's Batman.
Mm-hmm. This movie also directed by Tim Burton?
Yes. Before things started to go off the rails with Joel Schumacher.
Oh, God, yes.
We are pre-nipples on the bat suit at this point, folks.
You can only rent this movie for like $3.99 on your streaming services.
Yeah, right.
So there you go. If you want to do that, you can do that. But today we have a special guest with us.
Yes, we do.
Talking about Batman Returns. We got Tom from Tom and Jim's Top 5.
Hey-o.
Hey-o. Hey, Tom. Say hi.
How you guys doing?
Great. How about you?
I'm great. It's Sunday. We're recording this right on Sunday. I just watched some football.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying myself.
Yeah, who won, Tom?
I'm not... You know what? I don't want to talk about it.
Okay, that's fine.
Who won... I'm off tomorrow, and I think I need the day to recuperate from the loss. I'll just say that.
Now, Tom, so. You are the Santa Claus of our time because you deliver packages every day, right?
Yeah, but we're not, I'm not jolly about it. I do not want to be walking up to your doorstep at 6 in the evening after working 12 hours still with a truck full of packages. I'm just not that jolly.
Yeah.
But we do it with a fake smile. So we're you know, a couple more days left, hopefully.
Do people holiday tip like their mailman anymore?
On the USPS, we are not supposed to take a tip over $25 and no cash tips whatsoever. But what I say is, you give me whatever you want because I'm going to take it.
Allegedly.
Yeah. If you give me like a $25 gift card to Hickory Farms, I'll be happy.
Ooh.
But I'm not going to be as happy as if you give me $25.
Right.
How's that sound? Is that right?
That makes sense.
Or 25 smoked sausages from Hickory Farms.
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't have that kiosk at their mall? You know?
So before we drop the deuce on Batman Returns, why don't we... play some messages.
Yeah.
So after these messages, we'll be right back.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
Where's the beef?
Hey, how you doing?
Hold on to your butt.
Feels like an Arby's snack.
Mine.
Son of a... That's gonna leave a mark.
Chili. Baby back ribs.
Well, what if there is no tomorrow? There wasn't one today.
This is Tom and Jim's Top 5. Naming their top 5 lists on everything pop culture. Celebrating the 90s. Sports, movies, music, and more. They're not authorities. Just grown children.
And we're back.
And we're back.
All
why
right.
You always laugh after that? I don't know why.
That was
why.
A long time.
I know, right? It
felt like forever.
Went on for a while.
I missed you, yeah. Tom.
That's okay. I just waited here, stared at the blank wall, waited for you guys to come back. It's nice.
Well, we had to have the commercial break.
Yeah, that's good.
So why don't we just go ahead and we'll quick get into dropping the deuce on this one.
Dropping the deuce. Do you like that we say drop the deuce? On this?
That's one of the greatest parts of your show is that you drop the deuce. I love it.
It's the only good part of our show.
No, it's not the only good part, but it's definitely a highlight.
So feel free, Tom, to chime in when you want to say something about Batman Returns.
Sure.
Go ahead.
So, and you're kind of a pop culture guru.
Definitely a pop culture lover. Like, I love pop culture. I wouldn't say I'm like an expert or anything, but I've definitely stuck with a decade, and I'm staying there for the rest of my life. And that would be the 90s. The 90s. So that makes sense.
Yes, absolutely. Us too.
All right.
So Batman Returns. So we all got to experience the Tim Burton-y goodness of the first Batman movie.
I mean,
it's hard not to recall it. But we come in on this one in full swing. We have Danny Elfman music playing.
Yes.
We come upon a like the most gray serious tone part. Kind of backdrop. We come upon to Cobblepot Manor.
Yes.
And inside, Mr. Cobblepot.
Played by Pee Wee Herman.
Played by Paul Reubens.
Paul Reubens.
A Tim Burton staple.
We stop right there. I'm sorry.
Yep.
Stop right there. How shocked were you? I just forgot that Pee Wee Herman was in this movie. Like, I was rewatching this. I'm like, wait, that's Pee Wee Herman? Oh, my goodness.
I always forget.
I was just shocked.
Yeah, I always forget that he is.
Well, and it goes further, too. So when I was a kid, and I loved this movie. And when we watched it again, I was like, holy crap. And then I was kind of like, almost like pissed at my young self that I didn't recognize that it was Pee Wee Herman. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't recognize Paul Reubens. I wasn't like, oh, he didn't have a little red bow tie or whatever. So I couldn't tell who he was.
He wasn't like talking all funny.
When I'd get a new haircut, my dog freaks out.
But Mrs. Cobblepot is also from Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah. So, well, he's smoking. We hear some sounds of children being born and the scream.
Right.
And the doctor runs out of the room, and he looks like he's horrified. Mr. Cobblepot runs in, and we hear him screaming. So then it cuts to Mr. and Mrs. Cobblepot. And Mrs. Cobblepot is played by Margaret Salinger, who was Monique.
Right.
In Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
The diner waitress.
Yes.
Right.
Who loved France.
Yes.
And who is
she? Wanted to go to France. That's all she wanted to do.
She's in the new one, the new Pee Wee Herman.
She is?
Yeah, she was in that as well. She played somebody else. But no, I was like, and again, didn't even recognize her.
No.
Like, when I was a kid, my little kid brain couldn't take if somebody was like out of a costume, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Was this pre Paul Reubens enjoying a movie at the movie theater?
Yeah, I'm going to assume so. This is the heyday of Pee-wee, wasn't it? Or not?
It was 92?
Yeah, this movie came out in 92.
Yeah, so it had to have been shortly before.
Originally, they wanted Burgess Meredith to actually play Mr. Cobblepot.
Yeah.
And the original Penguin.
Yeah, original Penguin, correct. Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Which I thought it would have been awesome, but I
think
he'd have been a little old at that point for it, too.
Well, he was a grumpy old man.
Yeah. But that's probably the way they grade Mr. Cobblepot's hair up. Right. And
I'm going to make you eat halibut and crap out tuna.
So Mr. and Mrs. Cobblepot, they turn around. They're at the window and they're having some drinks. They see in this little cage that's rattling around. Obviously, they have their child locked up and it's grunting and screaming and whatever, and a cat comes by the front of it, and of course, the cat gets dragged into the cage. Obviously, something's wrong with this kid. So they look at each other. They put him in a bassinet, and they take the baby to Gotham Park, where they are walking around past other couples, and then they throw him into the river, or like the little waterway that runs through there. Now, the title card sequence is just this thing floating.
Yeah, but the thing looked huge. Like, at the time, when the title card was going by, I was like, how big is this basket?
Well, they're rich, so they can afford a big wicker bassinet.
Probably because she pushed out a big baby.
Well, and I guess I was kind of...
I just laughing at the images of this penguin baby. Never mind. Let's not get into that. I'm sorry.
Well, and I think the other thing that weirds me out is Gotham is supposed to be this big metropolis, but apparently the river that runs through the park also ties to the sewers, which also ties to the zoo.
Oh, yeah.
Like, to the zoos, like, where the penguins live.
It's all connected, Jeremy.
Yes. So, eventually...
Keep it very hush-hush.
The bassinet washes up on, like, the little bank of this, of the zoo's penguin house. And the penguins raise him as one of their own.
Right.
Anyway, 33 years later...
Okay, can I... 33 years later...
Yeah.
So we assume that Danny DeVito is 33 in this movie, right?
No, I think he's supposed to be. They probably had the kid in a cage for like a year or whatever. Oh, yeah,
34 then. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's supposed
We're supposed to assume that Danny DeVito is 34 in this
movie. He looks rough for 34.
Mm, yeah. Well,
I mean, have we done the research on the how a aging process works for a penguin? Like, we shouldn't assume that. Maybe they just age worse, you know?
It's true.
Yes.
He's like 60 in penguin years. But yeah, that is a good point.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be 34. But when I was a kid...
Because I thought the same thing when I rewatched it. I'm like, 33 years? I'm like, Danny DeVito had to be pushing 50-something when he made this movie, right?
Oh, he had to be.
Come on, though. When you were a kid... And you're like 34. Yep, that checks out.
Oh yeah, that's like, yeah. When you're a kid, you're like,
you're old and haggard by 34, right? That's like that was my.
Well, I mean, I'm older than that now, and I feel old and haggard. So I guess you're right.
I think when this movie came out, let's see, I was 12. So my parents were like 33.
Okay, yeah.
So it seemed right.
Yeah,
it seems good. So. It's Christmas in Gotham, so it's normal, fun, bleak.
Which makes it a Christmas movie, that's why we're doing it.
Yes, which is why we're watching it, because it takes set at Christmas time. There are newsies.
Yeah, newsies galore everywhere.
Everywhere. Talking about the penguin man of the sewers.
I said that too. I was like, there's newsies, like, left and right, telling us about our news.
Well, and okay, so the comic book for a long time
was
weird.
Is it the 40s? Is it the 50s?
But the comics were like that for a long time, where you couldn't really tell, like, what decade. Like, Gotham was always weird. It had, like, big, like, sculptures on the buildings, and they used to have this weird, like, kind of Art Deco feel to them. And eventually they changed it at some point, but I think, like, Tim Burton keys in on that.
Yeah.
And tries to make it all look... old and iconic. Old,
yeah.
So, which is why you still get a lot of the weird architecture.
And the newsies.
And the newsies. Because they're like, yeah, part of this is the 20s, part of it's like the 50s and 60s, part of it's modern.
Yeah.
So, let's see here. So, Alfred is out shopping for Christmas and, of course, chides some boy for peddling fake news.
Yeah.
Which I think is exactly how he puts it. Fake news. And
fake news. Fake news.
Yeah.
The penguin. That's fake news.
So, of course, Alfred, played by Michael Gough, who is the same, which I think is how you pronounce it. This is the same guy who plays Alfred.
Wait,
in,
is it Giff or Gough?
I thought it was Gough.
Oh, like a Gif?
Gough? Like
is it Jeff Gough?
But he plays he plays Alfred in all four of those original series of movies.
Okay.
I'd argue he's the best Alfred.
I would argue... See, I don't know. Like, I like Michael Caine.
Oh, yeah, Michael Caine.
But as far as, like... I don't know. He's a pretty iconic Alfred.
Yeah, it's pretty iconic.
Like, when I think of Alfred, I think of him.
Yeah.
And was it this, Alfred just keep getting
Irons.
Younger and younger? Yeah. Jeremy Irons. Usually I'm very pro-Jeremy, but this time I'm going to have to say no on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, according to your shirt, you're not pro iron. Anyway, go ahead.
What? anyway, so we see some flippered gloves grasping the bars of the sewer grate, watching the tree being lit by the Ice Princess, who gets no other name
except
outside
Ice
of
Princess.
Ice Princess the whole time. She's played by Christy Conaway. I thought she was somebody else originally, and when I got older, I'm like, no, that is not.
I thought that was What's-Her-Face from 30 Rock.
Who?
The one chick from 30, the blonde hair girl from 30 Rock?
Jane Krasinski?
Yeah,
whatever
I thought
her name is?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, she's that old, isn't she?
Well, of course she's that old. Okay. She was one of the girls in the vacation movies.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
She was Cousin Eddie's daughter.
Oh, she was Cousin Eddie's daughter.
Yeah.
She's the one that was stirring the punch with her hand.
Yes.
Oh, yes. That's her.
Yeah. No, I thought it looked like, I'm going to forget her name now. And of course, it couldn't be here because she'd have been like our age.
Christy Swanson? Movie.
No, well, yeah, that's not a good pick. But the one from, she's in like the, the Katniss Everdeen movies. What are those called?
Jennifer Lawrence?
No, the other girl who plays like the one with all the weird makeup on her face.
Oh,
now I'm just losing my mind.
She's like in every movie now.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what
she is. She was.
What is her name?
She's in every movie now?
Yeah, God, now it's going to drive me nuts.
The blonde.
Elizabeth Banks.
Elizabeth Banks?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's what she kind of looked like to me.
She's in every movie? Elizabeth Banks is in
like
yes,
seven
she
this
is.
Morning with no glasses on. And so but then I realized, well, she couldn't. She would have been like, 10.
Yeah, true.
So.
Yeah.
No, Elizabeth Banks is in every movie.
Well, I mean, Danny DeVito.
She's like a modern day chameleon.
If she's 10, Danny DeVito's 34 in this movie, so it all makes sense.
Yeah, so the time proportions are right.
Danny DeVito's only 48 right now. Did you know that?
Yes, he will live forever. We cut away to the corporate offices of, I think it's Shrek Corp.
Shrek, yeah.
Run by Max Shrek.
Yeah.
Played by Christopher Walken.
Played by Amadeus Mozart.
Oh, yeah.
With the most bizarre gray wig.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's not a wig. That's his hair.
That's his hair.
That's what he normally looks like.
That's what they wear. That's how they wear their hair on the planet that Christopher Walken came from. It's his natural look.
I feel like they were like, I use this look on Large Marge. We're gonna use it again here.
It's about as scary as Large Marge.
Yes, he's got this gigantic gray hair, and he's talking to the mayor, played by character actor Michael Murphy.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
About a new power plant that he's trying to build. And the mayor says, look, we don't need this. But Shrek keeps pushing it, saying we need this new power plant.
Every time they said Shrek in this movie, I kept looking for, that green troll.
Mike Myers?
Yeah, Mike Myers.
He's an ogre.
Oh, he's an ogre?
Okay, that'll do, donkey. That'll do. Real quick, I read a thing on here about Tim Burton not really wanting Christopher Walken as this character, as this person, because he, quote, because the man scares the hell out of me. That's Tim Burton saying that about somebody.
Yeah, right.
And that's just awesome.
It makes sense, too.
Right,
it makes sense. Yeah. Think about, if you've ever seen Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah, he's in that too.
Right.
He's the headless horseman.
He cast him in later. As a crazy, scary person, and probably because Tim Burton's like, this is how I see Christopher Walken.
Yeah. So. We didn't even have to do anything. He just came out of the bloody tree stump by himself.
Yeah, right.
Right.
He came to set dressed like that.
But you know what, though? He's creepy as hell in Sleepy Hollow.
He's creepy as hell in life.
Yeah, he is. He's creepy as hell in the one with Leonardo DiCaprio. Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah.
He's just the weird father. Like, he's creepy in everything. Yeah. Two mice swallowed a bucket of cream.
He's
that second mouse. Yeah, whatever.
Then he's really tap good. Dancing and flying around and
yeah.
And that's
Fat
just
Boy Slim
video. It might as well be a reality show we're watching. When
oh God!
On the screen.
It's all true. So Shrek is talking to the mayor, and he keeps pushing for this power plant to be built, saying that Gotham is going to need it. And, of course, Shrek's secretary all of a sudden says that she thinks she might have an idea, which, of course, makes everybody turn and kind of, awkwardly giggle at her. She kind of backs down because she's sheepish, but it's Selina Kyle.
Right.
Played by Michelle Pfeiffer.
Ah, the cool writer herself, Michelle Pfeiffer.
Now, who originally, what was it, Annette Bening?
Annette Bening, but Annette Bening got pregnant. So kudos to what's his face? Warren Beatty.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Also, I remember at the time reading stuff about Sean Young. Sean Young wanted to be Catwoman so bad that she kept showing up on the set, like, in costume, in, like, Catwoman costumes, which she interpreted to be Catwoman, trying to get this role so bad that at times I think...
You imagine if someone did that today, they'd be hauled off to jail.
Yeah, I know, right? Oh, you know there are actors who do nutty crap like that. I mean, no, she was at least... She was a name at the point.
Okay.
But right. She walks around in this Catwoman suit, and I remember reading about, like, the rumor was, like, Tim Burton was ducking her. Like, he was like, oh, God. It was, like, he was sneaking off set to get away because she was showing up. Oh, Sean Young. So hot. Crazy. of course, Shrek demeans her and kind of dismisses anything she might possibly have to say. So she doesn't even get to speak her mind. Just then, Chip Shrek, who is Max Shrek's son.
Chip Shrek.
Who, it's this guy. He's coming in doing this terrible Christopher Walken impression. Dad, they're waiting for you outside, kind of thing. The guy, by the way. His name is Andrew Briniarski.
Sure.
And when we saw his picture
on IMDb.
Yeah, he looks like Andrew WK.
I think it is Andrew WK.
It's not.
He likes to party all the time.
He is the guy. He played Zangief in the Street Fighter movies.
Oh.
And he played Butterfingers in Hudson Hawk.
Butterfingers.
Yeah, he's the big guy from Hudson Hawk.
Oh, Hudson Hawk's amazing.
Yeah, I love that movie.
In this movie, though, he looked like he should have, like, plaid shorts on and white deck shoes and named Todd.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, like, that looks about right.
Let's go to the boat. Yeah, it's just a weird guy.
Chip.
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 So, yeah, but the walking impression is terrible.
Yeah.
No, but he says it's time for them to head down to the ceremony.
No, it is. It's terrible.
So they're heading out. And, of course, Selena is there, and she's kind of goofy and cheesy. She fantasizes about how she would have done things differently. Like, she's basically like, oh, you could do this and this, and I have an idea. And kind of
she's
like,
kind of nerdy.
Yeah.
Socially awkward.
Yes. And she realizes that Mr. Shrek left without his notes. So she grabs them to start heading down to go see him, or to go take him to him. He gets down there, and of course, on his way down, he's threatening to have the mayor recalled because the mayor isn't going to let him build that power plant.
Right.
So he wants to do this big recall to make sure that he can get in there.
So Christopher Walken plays Trump in this
basically.
Movie.
Okay. Yeah.
Just checking.
So he goes to give this speech and realizes his notes are missing, and of course, which he says he's later going to take out on Selena.
Right.
But during his impromptu speech, we see these giant packages, like, just moving in, like, on the bridge and, like, along the sides, and nobody is worried about this at all. Everybody's kind of like, normal Christmas thing. It's probably part of the show.
That wouldn't happen if, the Postal Service delivered those packages. Right, Tom?
That's right. It wouldn't happen, because I would have quit by then. Delivered.
This feels like it's filled with clown-based gang members.
it's quite a group in that in there though, isn't it?
Yeah. Are they called the Red Triangle Gang?
Red Triangle Gang. Yeah.
What a stupid gang name.
Well, you don't know.
Oh, I do know. It sounds stupid.
You don't even know why they call them that.
Okay.
I guess I didn't really understand they were called the Red Triangle Gang until
I heard him say it.
Yeah, until Batman said it, and I'm like, oh, they have a name.
Yeah.
Because earlier they said
it's such a throwaway line when he says it. Yeah. You didn't catch it.
Yeah.
You know, like,
well, even the mayor calls him the Circus Gang, like, earlier.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Like, halfway through, they're like, should we give them a name?
Yeah.
Should we call him something?
I think Christopher Walken calls him the James Gang. That's a really bad joke. Keep going.
Well, they're quite a different group. Like, half of them are, there's some of them are what? Clowns. Some of them, it's like circus people. Then halfway through, the guys on the motorbikes are like part of a Day of the Dead parade from Mexico. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, so I actually called them American Horror Story cult cast members.
Yeah,
right. Or could we call it the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang Gang?
Yes, the Chitty Chitty Gang Gang.
Yeah, careful how we're saying that.
The chitty chitty gang gang?
No, no, just I didn't want you to flip some words around. That's all.
I don't...
Go ahead, keep going.
It's like he's daring me to say it.
No, I don't want you to say it. That's okay.
Okay. So everybody starts attacking. Oh, and we see like the organ grinder. Easy.
Sorry.
So he's grinding his organ. And it's Vincent Schiavelli.
Right. I remembered he was the math teacher in the movie Better Off Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. He and shows up in a bunch of movies.
Yeah, Buggy Ding Dong and
Buggy Ding Dong and Death to Smoochie.
Death to Smoochie. But just then, so like all these weapon wielding circus freaks bust in. They say they're here for the big guy in charge, and of course the mayor tries to stand up there and they knock him out because they're there for Max Schreck. Chip says they'll have to go through him and gets in their way, and then tells his father to run. But
you'll have to go through me.
But he better hurry.
It's like an Arnold Schwarzenegger and Christopher Walken impression put together. Yeah. It's kind of what Chip is.
It's very odd.
Right.
And he better hurry because that impression is not strong enough to hold them off for long.
No.
Right. No.
This thing will only last me so long.
Until the butter turns into cream. Yeah. And then we're all in cream. Anyway.
So they throw up the bat signal.
When you mean throw up, they vomit the bat
signal. Almost. It's almost. So I never got this. It always seemed really odd to me. The bat signal goes up, and like it mirrors onto like he has like his. His mansion starts, like, has these mirrors that move and redirect the light. And so it just makes a giant bat signal show up in his living room.
When that happened, you said, that's got to be awkward when company comes over.
Yeah, right? Like, you're having, like, hey, guys, let's have some popcorn and watch this movie. Boom, just a big bat signal. That came with the mansion. Like, I don't know. But then he's, and of course the whole time he's just like sitting in this room waiting for shit to go down because he's just literally doing nothing. He's not like reading a book. He's just sitting there.
He's just sitting there. The light hits him. He goes, "Huh."
And what? He stands up.
Oh, he's like, unwanted.
He's just like sitting. Come on, light. Come on. But yeah,
just
it's so
any reason to drive that car. It's really what he's looking for.
But it's so awkward. Like, the bat signal directing in there, nobody has ever noticed that before.
Yeah. So the Birdman himself. Yeah.
Well, so Batman takes off in the Batmobile, which, by the way, I don't know what your feelings are from between these movies, but this is my favorite of all the Batmobiles.
I like this Batmobile.
I love this Batmobile.
This is the best one. This is by far the best Batmobile.
Yes, I love the hatch that opens and closes. Yeah. I love the look of it is great. Fantastic. And they get like they start turning into more and more like roadster type of things.
Yeah, they get too polished and too like commercialized.
Well, then they get super cheap. Like this thing actually seems solid. Like later ones, like the fins on them just like shake back and forth because
that's true.
What's his name goes super cheap.
Schumacher?
Yeah, Joel Schumacher.
I thought I was gonna say George Clooney, but
well, he spent all the money on the nipples.
Yeah, right. I want this anatomically correct. So he's driving around, and you see like little fins and things are coming out, taking out the legs of like guys on stilts, and then. Knocking the motorcyclists off their motorcycles. Then there's the weird part with the fire breather.
So
the fire breather breathes fire at the Batmobile. Clearly, you're not going to hurt Batman.
Not really.
Inside of that. So he's like, I know what I'll do. Puts this little thing on the ground that lets him rotate the Batmobile.
Cool.
And then sets the guy on fire with his, like, jet engine.
So you just killed someone?
I know. That's what I was confused. Like, oh, no. Oh, no. What? Yeah, he just you know, incinerated somebody. It's cool.
Okay. But that was pretty cool.
It was cool, but I thought the same thing. It's like, you don't really see Batman, especially in these movies, kill anybody.
Right.
And you think,
well, yeah,
there's no way this guy, if this guy at best jumped in a snowbank and got the fire down, at best he died of third-degree burns 30 minutes later.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And then I keep thinking, like, Batman could have just lurched his car forward and just hit him a little bit.
Tapped him.
Wonk. And just knocked him down.
That guy.
Yeah, like, come on. Open the hatch and throw a batarang at him or something, but
spray water in his face.
You don't incinerate a teddy bear in his town, and that's why Batman is so pissed. Because before, the guy blew fire at the toys and lit that teddy bear on fire, and all those kids are for Christmas. I mean, that's a horrible thing. Batman really stuck it to him.
Batman wanted that Teddy Ruxpin, man. Yeah. Like, that was... Ruxpin, no!
Yeah.
So, Selina then gets grabbed by kind of a clown who doesn't seem like he's into this whole...
That's clown. David E. Kelly. Yeah.
Is it really?
Wait, no, I'm just joking. Because she's married to David Kelly in real life? Never mind, keep going.
And he's got a stun gun, and it makes me feel bad because all the other clowns got machine guns.
Yeah.
And this guy has, like, a stun gun, and he's half-hearted on this whole thing anyway.
Right.
But Batman shoots, there's, like, this shot where he shoots his little grappling whatever into the wall behind him. He's like, yeah, you missed, and pulls the... chunk of the masonry out and hits him in the head and knocks him out.
Yeah.
Selina grabs the stun gun and saves it for later. Of course, she tases the guy a little bit just to see if it works, but she saves the stun gun
after she talks to him like they just had a bad breakup.
That is true.
She's an odd duck in this movie. Let's just say that. She's an odd person.
Well, yeah, she's... But I think it goes back to this kind of nerdy and awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very awkward.
So, far, far away from all the action, Max Schreck is just kind of walking through some alleys.
And, I'm Christopher Walken over here.
He gets jumped, and they grab him and take him away. And he finds himself, he wakes up in
He doesn't get jumped, he falls through
Oh, I guess he does, doesn't he? Yeah, he does.
He falls through a sewer, and thank goodness for the bad guys that he walked down that particular alley.
Yes.
And stood on that particular sewer so they could have him fall down.
Right there.
What if he didn't? What if he just walked by it? What were they going to do? The movie would have been over.
Yeah, right? There you go.
You could have easily walked around that sewer.
Yeah.
Right.
I still don't
Who
walk
walks on sewers. I don't do
I
that.
I still don't do it for that very reason. You never know if some disgruntled clown gang will grab you.
He
wakes up at the abandoned Gotham Zoo, which is very Tim Burton-esque. It's got like
Bandor Scooby Doo esque.
That as well.
Same thing.
But it's got like big like there's like a giant crab exhibit or something. I don't know. Like they just have weird sculptures everywhere.
Right, there's sculptures everywhere.
Topiaries by Edward Scissorhands.
I thought that too because this is the movie after Edward Scissorhands. Yeah. So
circus people and penguins are just looming around.
Right.
And he sees somebody actually feeding the penguins. Turns out it's the Penguin, played by Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito, doing his best Steve Bannon impression in this movie, by the way.
Doing his best 34-year-old impression.
Steve Bannon.
He's doing a better Steve Bannon than Steve Bannon does. Just say that.
The blue drool is very accurate.
It's very Steve Bannon.
Apparently the sewers, I just still don't get, like, the sewers connect to the penguin
tank.
I don't
get it either, but, you know.
Penguin says he knows Shrek's secrets, and he wants help getting back to the surface. And he, like, shows him things like, here's some toxic waste from your clean, fabric plant, and here's shredded documents showing stuff, and here's your former partner's... cut his severed arm.
Like I said, Steve Bannon.
Yeah, right. And I don't know what the deal is. I've never taken the time to research it. I wish I would have earlier. But I've never gotten the deal with Penguin's drool.
Yeah, no.
Like, the black, like, it looks like he's constantly falling for that joke gum that, like, turns your mouth blue.
Damn it, they got me again with that joke gum.
Funny you should say that, because what happened to Francis in Tim Burton's Pee-wee's Big Adventure? He chewed the gum and started doing the same thing.
That is true.
So maybe
he just threw it in there because Tim Burton thinks that's just hilarious. I bet he's a whoopee cushion man. I can just imagine Tim Burton loves whoopee cushions and those type of jokes.
Oh, yeah. I can see that.
Yeah. Him and Helena Bonham Carter love the whoopee cushion. At least they used to.
Well, maybe not the cushion so much, but...
Hello.
Hey-o. Anyway. So Penguin Drool is just free-flowing at this point.
Penguin drools. Shrek rules.
I'm researching right now if penguins actually drool anything. But you guys go ahead and talk.
Okay.
I'll see what
Wikipedia
says. Yeah.
And I love that Penguin has all these umbrellas.
Oh, the umbrellas are the best.
Yes. While he's talking... Yeah. I'm glad they did that. While he was talking to him... And he, like, has, like, a flamethrower one. He's got a sword one. He's got, like, a gun one. And, of course, he has, like, the little hypnosis-looking one.
Mm-hmm.
Are you supposed to hypnotize me with that? No, it'll give you a splitting headache, and it fires off some bullets. But Shrek eventually agrees to help Penguin.
Right.
Max Shrek is a slick talker, too.
Right. This is Trump and Bannon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said.
So Selena gets home, and of course, she's kind of got that awkward, nobody's home there waiting for her. She does the, honey, I'm home.
Honey, I'm home, wait.
Feeds the cat some milk, you know, gets some answering machine messages. She's kind of a Miss Lonely Hearts type with the house cat.
Where'd she get that neon sign at?
That says hello there?
That says hello there.
I don't know.
If you're like in the store and you're like, man, that neon sign that says hello there, I need that for my bedroom.
Well, and I don't know if, because I had a neon sign that I got from somewhere that said game gallery on it.
Game gallery.
Yes. Yeah. It might have come from the game gallery. I don't know. but that thing buzzed. So like, it's like, it would be constantly going and... It's hot and very bright, and so I don't know. Like, that seems very impractical for her.
No wonder she's nervous. She can't get a good night's sleep.
There you go. So while she's there, she gets a message from herself saying, if you're hearing this, you probably forgot the file for Bruce Wayne that you needed to have ready for in the morning, so you need to get back there and get that taken care of. So she rushes back to the office.
Anything on that drool, Tom?
No, but I did find a website asking that same question, and they just made a joke about why, Morgan Freeman never mentioned it in March of the Penguins, so why should it be in here? And I was waiting, as I was watching this, I was, like, thinking, going very back to the very beginning when they threw the baby over the baby carriage over the thing, why wasn't that a good point for Morgan Freeman's voice to come in and start introducing the movie?
Andy Dufresne.
Yeah.
In the basket.
Oswald Cobblepot. Who went into.
He's talking about Batman Returns, but doing it as Red from Shawshank Redemption.
Do it, Jeremy.
What?
Oswald Cobblepot,
who went into a river of shit and came out clean on the other side.
As the Penguin.
And drooling.
Right. And drooling black goo. So, Selena is working on the files, kind of putting together the Bruce Wayne presentation, and Max Shrek walks in on her and asks what she's doing. She's talking through it, and then kind of says she even got into some of the restricted files, which, you know, if you're seeing things in the dangerous restricted files, you should probably keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, that has something to do with Natalie Wood. We don't want to get there.
What kind of wood doesn't float?
No, I'm not doing that joke.
Anyway, so the power, she finds that the power plant is actually like a generator or a power plant name only. It's really a capacitor, which is storing the city's own power to basically sell back to them. So it's going to store it up. They're going to make money because they're just giving them power that they should have already had.
Right.
And of course he's like, well, who have you told about this? Well, nobody. And he's kind of gets creepy and moves in on her and says, trying to make a legacy for my son. Make sure that he's going to be okay.
Hold on, let me grab my Tic Tacs. All right, my breath is fresh.
I can't have anything get in the way.
You know, because he's Trump.
Yeah, I got you. And so he basically says he can't kill her. She says, you can't kill me. And he goes, oh, but I can.
Oh.
And he kind of acts like he's joking around and then shoves her through the window.
Yeah.
So on her way down, she hits several awnings.
Yeah, awnings.
Which slow down her speed.
I thought she hit the side of the building. Was it an awning?
Yeah, she's hitting the awnings as she's going down. Okay. And so it kind of slows down her speed, and she ends up landing on the ground. And then cats start, well, to me, I was like, they're giving her CPR.
Molesting her?
Yeah, they're licking her mouth and, like, you know, licking her blood, I guess.
That's how she gets her powers? Through a bunch of cats?
Yeah.
Giving her CPR?
Yeah, cat CPR.
Cat CPR.
You should try it.
Nope.
No, I'm good.
I'm all right. But I think that's supposed to be part of the thing, is we're supposed to wonder if she actually got powers, or if maybe she just, or your brain got hurt on the way down or what, but...
I don't know.
Because, you know, before I was like, well, she fell all that way and died and came back, but if she's falling through all those awnings and they're slowing her down enough, she could have been okay.
I would argue that she was already Catwoman before she went out the window. That she was always been this person. Just like Penguin was born as the Penguin.
Yeah.
She was born as Catwoman. And that's why the cats ran to her, because they, you know, that's what the cats do. Because she has a cat and she likes cats. And I think she just didn't know her potential until after she fell.
Yeah, and now she's just free of those inhibitions.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah. No, I like that. So, Selina comes home again, and she starts repeating her same routine from earlier, except now she's clearly messed up. Like,
right. It sounds more sexy.
What?
It sounds sexy.
She's like, honey.
Oh, yeah, no, but later on she sounds like...
Yeah, I was like, what?
No, she changes into a cat.
No, when she comes home, it's like she's drunk. Like, if I was
she's like a zombie.
Person, and she came home like that, I'm like, go to bed, you're drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I mean, later on.
Yeah. Well, she's kind of zombie-like at first.
Yeah.
Until she hears this ad again that's talking about perfume. It was like, your boss will be asking you to stay late and get some work done. For like a candlelit office dinner.
Yeah, what is this movie about?
How fitting is this movie to today's climate?
Right.
I mean, seriously. You got Steve Bannon, you got Donald Trump, and you got sexual assaults all over the place here.
Yeah,
look,
right.
Before we did this movie, like, what'd you say about the plot? Well, the plot's really not that heavy. And I go, challenge accepted, Jeremy.
I go.
And
this
I said,
will be
I'll
pretty,
do it.
This will be a pretty fun one to get through, like pretty easy to get through, because it's not like it isn't like super super deep.
It's not.
You don't have to unpack a lot from it.
No.
But he's like, challenge accepted, and immediately he was like, we open on blah blah blah. I'm like, oh my god. Let's just. So she hears this thing about, you know, this ad about perfume that gets you sexually assaulted. And she just starts losing it.
Try more perfume.
Yeah. Hey, perfect. She starts losing it.
From the Weinstein collection.
Starts kind of hitting her. Oh, God. Kind of starts hitting her head and just starts trashing everything. Spray painting, shredding, just smashing dollhouses. And it's almost
like... I think she does a great impression of what it is to have... what it's like to actually have a cat. I mean, she's crazy. Cats are nuts.
Cats are nuts.
So I think she nailed it.
Yeah. There you go. But to me, it was almost like it's that moment where she's trying to live this 50s housewife type thing. You know, it's kind of demure woman thing. And all of a sudden, she has a boss who is taking advantage of her in a way. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like she just can't handle that now. She's got like...
Yeah.
This post-traumatic stress, and so she's just destroying everything. She can't go back to that life now. And so that's kind of what I got from it. Like, it was very, like...
Where'd she get that spray can from?
Black spray paint? She could have had that for anything.
She had that? Why'd she have that? What'd she need that for?
I don't know.
Was she a Huffer?
Yeah, that's what it was.
Well, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, she could have been. That's why she was always the space cadet at work.
but she... So she's just spray painting things, but she pulls this one vinyl jacket she's got and turns it into an entire suit. Turns this like little waistcoat thing to like a whole body length,
right,
full covering vinyl suit.
Sure.
She's very talented.
Very talented.
And then, of course,
you are the winner of Project Runway.
So she breaks her sign that says hello there. And now it says hell here. And we see her just kind of all these cats sitting outside her window just watching her at this point.
Well, that's my version of hell. A bunch of cats just sitting there waiting.
Trying to figure out where ours is. She's off scheming right now.
Oh, I hate her cat. I love her so much.
So now at a press conference, the mayor is saying that, you know, they will not give in to the violence of this gang, of the circus gang.
Of the red triangle gang.
He just calls them the circus.
The chitty chitty bang gang. Gang bang bang. Sorry.
So the mayor... His baby gets kidnapped by a clown at that point. Of course, it's all an act. He runs off into the sewers, which is the sewer grate is just open.
Yeah.
Runs off into the sewer, and they get this kind of like melodrama that sounds like the penguin is chasing the clown off, and he saves the baby. And of course, he brings it to the surface. And acts like the hero. So
and
everybody
everyone's
is,
like, wow, what's going on? You're ugly.
He's new, so everybody loves him. And he tells everybody he just wants to find his parents and why they left him all those years ago. And, of course, Bruce is like, yeah, I hope he finds his family. You know, seems pretty okay with it. So then they let Penguin have, like, unfettered access to the Hall of Records. And other people are not allowed to go in there while he's working.
Yeah.
And, of course, people are like, but that's a public building. Everybody should be able to go in there.
It's a public building where there's just hallways of records.
Yeah.
Like vinyl records.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That Selena has melted down into a suit. But we see that we see Penguin working, and he's actually writing down these like legal pads filled with names and going through all these like birth certificates. So Bruce Wayne starts looking into this a little bit because that's just who he is. So he starts looking through stories involving circuses, and he finds one that had an aquatic bird boy in it.
Ooh.
And that children had gone missing, but when they brought everyone in to question them, that aquatic bird boy had escaped, and then like he named off some of the other people who were involved in those circus attacks. So Bruce thinks, huh, maybe something's up here. So he heads out to watch the to watch Penguin work, and he thinks that he tells Alfred, I think he actually might already know who his parents are.
He does a drive-by.
Yeah.
Like, he knows exactly where the penguins are.
Just a real slow drive-by in the Batmobile.
Yeah, like it's his ex-girlfriend. I gotta check where she at.
Yeah. Just kind of across the way looking through the window like a creeper.
Creeper.
He's Batman. It comes with the territory, I suppose.
Yeah.
But, so he thinks something's up, so he's watching him. But then in this kind of another melodramatic move, Penguin goes to the cemetery with scores of people around.
Yes, CNN and MSNBC, they're all there.
Yeah, and he falls to his knees and does this big act in front of his parents' graves, acting like, oh, how could you have done this? And he comes back and he says that he forgives them reveals that his name is Oswald Cobblepot and that he forgives them for what they've done. He says, I was their number one son, and they treated me like number two.
Ooh. Deuce it up.
Yeah,
deuce inside a deuce.
Good deuce joke.
He just dropped the deuce.
I'm always up for good deuce joke.
Yeah.
So, Meanwhile, Catwoman, I guess it's in the next, that evening or whatever, Catwoman, there's a woman who gets pulled into an alley, and she's getting assaulted. Catwoman flips in, scratches the guy across the face, and, like, stabs him in the face with her claws, and then tells the woman, you all make this so easy. Yeah, you're just waiting for your Batman to come
what?
And... Yeah, like, blames her for that.
You did this to yourself.
Yeah, she's great.
What?
She's a real peach.
Way to go.
Yeah. So,
maybe Tom's right on that. Like, this, in the political climate that we're in.
Yeah,
like,
right?
God, really?
Like, yeah.
You know.
This movie is just, it's missing Matt Lauer as one of the newsies.
Hey,
you know.
Oh. Yeah. So Bruce Wayne and Shrek meet up for their meeting. And of course, Max Shrek says, Selina's on vacation. Otherwise, you know, I'd have coffee for you or whatever. And Bruce accuses him of stealing power through that power plant. Because right. Obviously he can figure out what's going on. And then... also says that he thinks that you're in league with Penguin, who is a mobster. He runs the Red Triangle gang, but I can't connect the dots yet. And of course, Shrek gets...
It's just three dots. That's how you make a triangle.
And there you go. Yeah, you just need three. I got two of them. I don't know what to do. Damn it, that was a green triangle. So Shrek goes to kick him out. He's just pissed about this. And Selina shows up. And, of course, Max Shrek is kind of
first time.
Shocked.
Yeah,
it's the first time he's seen her. And she kind of flirts with Bruce. You know, she just says she can't remember what happened to her. She got, like, kind of injured still. I just can't remember what happened to me. And it's kind of messing with him a little bit, with Max. And, of course, he asks... her to kick Bruce out, so she escorts him to the elevator. Bruce tries to ask her out, and she just kind of turns him away at this point. Meanwhile, Penguin is now working on his list back at his whatever, like, house or headquarters
house?
He's at.
Where are you at?
I don't get it. He's, like, in an abandoned upper floor of some building.
Yeah.
So Penguin's working on the lists, but now he's looking through the phone book, too. When I was a kid, I never noticed what he was doing. But
right.
He's looking through the phone book, too.
And now that you're older, you're like, what's a phone book?
So Max gives him some fish, just like a gutted fish.
Yeah.
And I always wondered if Danny DeVito was really taking big bites of that, or...
I'm going to guess he probably was.
Probably.
I read that he stayed in character.
Did he?
A la Jared Leto stayed in character.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, he stayed in character, like, the whole in-between takes and everything.
Nice.
So, that's drove awesome. His co-workers batty. Ha! Batty. Sorry.
So,
you know what? I'm just going to sit the next couple minutes out. You guys
No!
Have you been waiting for that one?
No, and actually, you know, no, what? Yeah, I have. I'll admit it. I thought of that 3 days ago, and I'm like, I'm going to use that. And they're
gonna love it. Just been waiting to pounce with it.
Yeah.
Perfect. So Max gives him some fish, which he's just devouring, and brings him downstairs to an office full of campaign workers, which apparently he did not hear come in or set up.
They're all downstairs, and the lights on, and you didn't hear any of this.
And so he's...
They're all warming up their voices.
But he's Shrek, just a jolly good fellow.
Shrek wants him to run for mayor, and he goes, well... The election's in November. It's December now. And he goes, well, let me take care of that. So he's going to do the recall.
We got to make Gotham gray again.
Yeah, exactly. Well, but he wants to bring
not that
him in.
Black. We need a gray.
He wants to bring him in
right.
So that he can get the power plant going. And, of course, there's a couple cameos here with, like, Jan Hooks.
Jan Hooks from SNL?
Yep. Also was, I believe, one of the groundlings with...
Yeah, I think she was in Pee-wee. Was she in Pee-wee? I thought she was in Pee-wee.
Was she? Yeah, she was.
Yeah,
she was at
the
Alamo.
The girl at the Alamo.
Yeah, the Alamo, yeah.
There's no basement at the Alamo. Heartbreaking scene.
So she's there, and then some other guy, and of course Penguin bites the other guy's nose because he was making fun of Penguin.
Right.
But he agrees that he's going to be mayor, but they want to do that by creating some fake havoc. And of course they bring up like the Reichstag fire and everything. They want to have the Red Triangle gang go cause some havoc, and then they'll come in and Penguin can be their hero. So they attack, and Batman is fending people off. Meanwhile, Catwoman goes into a Shrek department store, because now they do department stores too.
Yeah, I guess.
And just starts trashing things again.
Right, she's in a sporting goods place.
Yes, she finds a
whip. I'm going to assume that it's Dick, because, you know, a pussy would be Dick. Never mind, yeah. Keep going.
Well, she found a whip there, so
right.
Whatever sporting goods store has a whip.
Oh, no, a Dick's Sporting Goods store, probably. You know?
Probably.
Did you notice there's a bunch of, like, dartboards in the background? Who sells that many dartboards? What sporting goods place?
Wow, 1992. Maybe they're selling a little more than they sell now.
Maybe.
But I don't know. Yeah. That's a lot of dartboards.
That's a lot of dartboards. Yeah, it was
a lot of dartboards. And so she gets her whip, and then she fights off some, or she, like, whips at some guards, knocks their guns out of their hands.
Hey, we only take $300
after they make a stupid sexual joke about her.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm not sure if to run or fall in love or whatever he says. What an idiot.
Yeah. Well, she's also got a whip and claws, man. Right. So come on. So she whips the guns out of her hands, and they're like, "Come on, lady, we only make 300 take home a week." And she's like, "Get out of here." Yes. So they run off.
And that's 300 dartboards a week that they give them for their time.
300 dartboards.
Yeah, that's why they make a bunch of dartboards.
That was just their pay sitting in the back?
Yeah.
And so she decides she's going to blow the place up. She rips into a panel, pulls out some, pulls the gas apart, the gas line apart, and then microwaves some spray paint cans.
Again, with the spray paint.
Well, you know.
She loves that spray paint.
She does.
You gotta stick with what works.
Yeah, there you go. The spray paint based shenanigans of
candy is dandy, but spray paint is quicker.
No, it's just not. So Batman, who's fighting people, he ends up running into the Penguin outside, and they kind of have their regular villain and hero, you know,
moment
monologuing. Yeah. And Catwoman just backflips forever out of the Shrek department store, like gets right up to them and goes meow, and then the store explodes.
I heard that Michelle Pfeiffer also stayed in character during this whole filming. Oh no, she was just being Michelle Pfeiffer.
There you go, perfect. So when the building explodes, Batman turns around. She's already scaling the building, climbing away.
She's good.
Yeah, and then Penguin uses one of his cool umbrellas.
Those umbrellas are awesome.
Yeah. It turns like into a helicopter thing, and he just like flies away.
That umbrella helicopter is my favorite.
As penguins often do.
Yes.
They fly away. And of course, as he's flying away, he says, "I saw her first."
Yeah. Tom, which umbrella was your favorite umbrella?
Oh, definitely the helicopter umbrella.
Right?
Mine
too.
Favorite.
Yeah.
Go Gadget, you know, helicopter.
I had the old DC toys when I was a kid, and I think Penguin, you know, they're modeled after the comic books, of course, but I think Penguin's umbrella did spin. Like, if you press a little button, it spun.
The Super Friends, it was modeled after, like, the Super Friends cartoons. Yeah. And it was the one where it was, like, red, blue, and yellow.
So that's had to pay, they're paying homage to that toy.
Yeah.
Or that Super Friends.
It spun, and there was, like, a little slide thing that would come up and put, like, a little point on top of the umbrella, like the sword.
Sweet.
Yeah,
I love that toy.
Yeah.
Yep.
He flies away. And, of course, this whole time, like, Penguin is super pervy, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's a creeper.
Yeah. Oh, he definitely has some pent-up issues.
Yeah.
Through this whole movie. Like, he's making some offhanded... He said something about a French flipper trick earlier, I think.
Yeah, I'll just show her my
French
flipper.
Yeah, he said some bad things in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, he's...
Oh, by the way, this movie's supposed to be for kids, too, you know.
That's true.
Yeah. Oh, there's... Yeah. There's plenty of things. Actually, there are some things I heard this time where I'm like,
yeah,
huh, I never heard that before.
Yeah.
Not until exactly. I was scrutinizing the movie. Yeah, I wrote some of them down. Like, I had it like in, I had it like in parenthesis. Like, did I just hear that? So, I'll, when I come across them, I'll let you know. But the Batman chases after Catwoman, and of course she hits him a few times, and finally he goes on the offensive and hits her, and she screams, "How could you? I'm a woman!" And this is kind of where I thought. It's almost like a commentary on the old show a little bit, or even the old comics where it was like they never, like in the old show, when it was one of the female villains, she just kind of stood off to the side while her henchmen did everything.
Right.
And they never actually fought her.
Fought her.
Yeah. Until Batgirl showed up.
Yes.
And then Batgirl.
That's why they had Batgirl.
Right. But she screams, "How could you? I'm a woman." And he goes, "Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry," and like comes over there and basically falls for it, and she kicks his ass for a minute.
Right.
And she was just like, I mean, she was, what I meant to say was, you know, how could you? You know, I'm not to be trusted, and this and this, and like basically shows him that she's not some weak, you know, she's not, women are not weak, she's not weak, you know, don't take us for granted. And while she's kind of got him hanging over the edge by her, by the whip, he throws some sort of, I don't know, like an acid or a napalm. If it was just like liquid,
it was like a napalm thing.
Liquid concentrated neon. I don't know what it was. Like he shakes her this container around, and it starts glowing neon, and he just throws the liquid at her. And
she I think it was baby Mr. Freeze, which would later become Arnold Schwarzenegger in Batman and Robin.
Oh, perfect.
So there you go. That's how we got that movie.
Yes.
Oh, thanks a lot. Of course,
she delivers the line, "The life's a bitch, and so am I."
And so am I.
Because she, that which I swore something like that was in the trailers.
Really?
Yeah. I thought I remember that.
But that's not like, what you call a female cat, though.
No.
That's what you call a female dog.
Yeah, so I don't know what you call a female cat.
I don't know why you would say that line.
Yeah.
So, anyway, go ahead.
So, of course, now her arms hurt, so she drops him, but he lands on this little ledge. She tries to get away, and she's struggling to get a grip on this roof, and she falls. Batman catches her, but again, kind of, you know, treats her like, "Oh, I've got you." And she goes, "Oh, you know, I needed a real man to, you know, save me and thank you." Like, she's talking about, like, where the real him is, and she's kind of feeling his suit until she realizes where the body, like, armor stops, and then stabs him in the side with her claws.
Oh.
Like, again, she's trying to be, she's acting demure, and he's falling for it. And then she ends up hurting him.
Worst first date ever.
I know.
She stabs him through the bat suit, which we literally just saw stop bullets earlier in the movie.
Well, so, but I think what she's saying, because the way I took that, which I think like it was maybe the last time I was like, "Oh, I get it," was that she says, I want to feel the real you."
Yeah. Oh.
And so she's feeling the chest part, which has the Kevlar. Oh. And then when she gets around the side where it's not protected, that's where she stabs him.
That's when
him.
She does it.
So she's feeling for the weak spots in his suit by in a all seductive right. kind of way.
Right. She found the spotlight.
Yeah. The so, of course, so after he gets stabbed, he backhands her off the building. But luckily, she lands in an open truck full of kitty litter.
Yeah, well, you know, that's how you transfer kitty litter.
Yeah, just randomly through the city in a giant truck.
With no cover on it.
Yeah, no
exactly.
cover at all.
I was like, "Oh, crap, it rained." Now it's just one blob of clay.
Or what if it was windy?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Cat litter flying over town?
Maybe they were dumping it so people could drive on all that slushy snow crap.
Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, that's true.
So now in the Batcave, Bruce is pulling Catwoman's claws from his side. One of her claws is still in him. And he pulls it out and, you know, is trying to get all his wounds cleaned up. Meanwhile,
he was licking his wounds. A I'll be here all week.
So at Oswald's campaign, he's getting ready to go into the mayor's race, and he's just really, you know, hamming it up and everything, and basically makes his announcement. He goes back upstairs, and Catwoman's there. So, of course, Penguin keeps trying to bang her. Like, he is,
yeah.
He is really pervy, and she's like, oh, God, get over yourself.
Because you don't really have that many choices when you're, you know, grow up as the yeah. Penguin boy.
Yeah, right.
In the circus.
You got the bearded lady, maybe, in the circus. And you got
that creepy lady with the little dog.
Yeah.
Creepy lady with the little dog.
Creepy lady with the dog, yeah. Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, she was weird.
So, Penguin's talking about turning Batman's car into, like, a bomb. They're going to blow it up. And she's like, well, you don't make him a martyr. So what about if we frame him so that he looks like a bad guy?
We'll frame him for murder.
Yeah. And so they're talking about it. But, again, Penguin keeps being pervy. So she basically threatens to eat his bird. She puts the little bird in her mouth.
That really?
But she really did do that. Yeah.
I was going to ask that. So that was real?
Yeah.
Yep.
She did that. Where was PETA on that one?
I know!
and of course, Penguin threatens to kill her cat. And so she lets the bird fly out of her mouth. And he lets the cat go then, too. Of course, he's trying to grab her by the pussy. Anyway,
this is the ugliest sex scene I've ever seen.
I can't believe how much this movie lines up with the last year and a half of
it. I told you, challenge accepted.
But she, and like one part, she's like, I feel so dirty. I should take a bath right now.
Yeah.
And so he's like, oh, really? And she starts licking her herself? Suit and like rubbing her head with it. I'm like, oh my God, you are not a cat.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what your deal is, but that's just weird.
Batman's not a bat.
Yeah.
You're not a cat.
He might be a penguin.
You all are sitting on a mat.
What do you think about that?
I don't know.
So, Bruce is watching TV, and...
As he always does, just waiting for the bat signal to show up.
Right. Just waiting for it to get reflected into his room. And,
Well, I'm waiting.
Penguin challenges the mayor to try relighting the tree, and he also says Batman should be there to keep the peace. So Batman knows something is wrong. But he doesn't know what yet. Bruce runs into Selina on the street. She's struggling kind of with her new identity. She's asking herself, like, what are you doing? And he asks her to an early dinner before the tree lighting. So he says, you know, we should get together. And they couldn't that evening because of everything that's about to go down. But we can get together for a little bit. Meanwhile, Penguin kidnaps the Ice Princess and leaves a batarang behind so that, to frame him for it.
Mm.
And it has, like, her blood on it and everything. So in front of the fire now, Bruce and Selina are talking. And they say their lives aren't all they've cracked up to be. They talk about kind of their pasts. And we kind of get our first... kind of connection to the first movie.
Yes.
Where they specifically talk about Vicky Vale.
Yeah.
Kim
Basinger herself.
Yeah, said she just couldn't deal with Batman.
Right.
Or couldn't deal with my baggage. But yeah, so the when I say this, I know it makes me sound like I'm some sort of creepy serial killer or something.
No, it does.
Like, yeah.
It totally does, Bruce.
And
would be a creepy serial killer.
Asked if, like, hey, does that bother you? It to her response, which is a line that I loved that I never paid attention to before. She says, "It's the normal guys that let you down. I'm not worried about sickos. At least they're committed." So
that's a good line.
I thought it was a good line.
That's a good line.
Yeah. So now they make out. And, of course, she grabs him by, like, where he's been stabbed in the side.
Sure.
So he kind of moves her hand away. And then she's got this nasty, like, bubbled up, like, whatever spot on her arm where he burned her.
Oh.
And she...
I was wondering what that was.
He almost touches that, and she pulls away. But and right about then, the TV, which is still on, talks about the Ice Princess being kidnapped by Batman because the Batarang is there. And they were like, oh, well, you know, he Bruce runs away. He says he's got to get out and take care of some things. So he's trying to get Alfred to take care of her. She starts to run out because she realizes it's game time.
Yeah.
And so she's like, hey, I need you to tell Bruce something. Just make up like a sonnet or a limerick for me.
No, she says, tell him a dirty limerick.
Yeah, tell him a dirty limerick.
There was a man from Nantucket.
You know, sidebar here. I have a friend who wrote a book of dirty limericks. And really? I always thought that was pretty funny.
It is.
I'm going to send it to you guys. I'll send you the where to get it. It's pretty funny.
Can you plug your friend's book?
No, because it was a long time ago, and I don't remember the name of it. And I don't have it in front of me. But it had something to do with our hometown here in Duluth, Minnesota.
Really?
Nice.
Yeah, so dirty limericks about Duluth, Minnesota. So it's only funny probably to people that live in my town because they would get the jokes of like the shithole bar he's talking about or something.
Well, when you find it, we'll throw it up on the page.
Yeah. All right, I'll do it.
My parents took me to Duluth one summer, and it was lovely. I really loved Duluth.
Oh, yeah. Summer was on a Saturday that year, I hope.
Yeah.
Duluth in the summer is fantastic.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah. It's the reason we'd suffer through 7 months of winter.
Oh, just great.
We'll have to head up there.
Yeah.
We'll do a remote.
We'll get drunk. We'll go fishing. We'll do whatever. Yeah.
Hell yeah! Let's do it.
Yeah.
Right. So
meanwhile
in Gotham, Bruce and
meanwhile at the Hall of Justice.
Yeah.
All right,
meanwhile at the Hall of Justice.
So Bruce and Selina both scurry to get back downtown. So Batman pulls up there in the Batmobile, and it does that thing where it kind of, like, cocoons itself, like in the safety shield, and he leaves.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like when it does that.
Yeah.
And as he leaves, though, the Red Triangle Gang shows up, and they break into the Batmobile. They have, like, a remote that undoes that. Like, it uncocoons itself. Which, if you can just pick that up anywhere.
So was this the first Batman movie with CGI effects?
I
think so.
I
almost want to say it was like stop motion. It wasn't that great.
It wasn't CGI, it was stop motion.
It was like stop motion.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know this is the first film that was filmed in Dolby Digital.
Oh, there you go.
Well, look at that.
There you go.
That's good.
But yeah, it they did the same
stop motion. Brought you in part by.
They did the same stop motion thing in the other movie too, like where it cocoons itself. But and even the
why does Penguin's gang, like, how are they this smart to like be able to do this stuff?
Yeah,
like,
it's
depicted that they're not very bright people, and then suddenly they one had blueprints to the Batmobile.
Yes,
to concoct some kind of engineer some machine to be able to take apart and put a bomb on it. It's like it makes no sense.
Yeah, that's what I was confused about, because it's not like they're. I mean, okay, even if the premise is these circus freaks that he ran around with also are engineering, you know, MIT engineering grads. Like, where did they get the schematics? Where did they get whatever? Like, yeah, it's very bizarre.
Probably Alfred. I mean, Alfred screws up everything.
I let them into the Bat Cave, sir. Like Vicky
Another
Vale.
One?
So they're doing something to the Batmobile. Batman shows up and he frees the Ice Princess, who's just like sitting on a chair. And she says that some man
doesn't the Catwoman cut her or free them?
Oh, I guess she's still there.
Yeah,
it's Catwoman who frees her. Well, she's sitting there and she says he gets her gag undone. And she says, oh, thank God, you know, I'll tell everybody that it was not you. It was some little man with fish breath.
You don't know who the Penguin is?
Yeah, right.
It's all over the news.
Yeah, right. And so, so she's just saying it's some little man with fish breath, which was just a setup for Catwoman to leap in and go.
By the way, that's what Rhea Perlman does call Danny DeVito.
It makes sense.
Just saying.
Well, he probably really does have fish breath.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would imagine.
I mean, have you seen his character on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia? I feel like that's the real Danny DeVito.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it really is.
It probably is. Yeah. So it was basically saying the thing about fish breath was just basically a cue for Catwoman to come in and go, did somebody say fish? I haven't been fed all day. To which one of the... I know some people who love this line. I've always thought it was awkward. He... like, knocks her down and says, eat floor, high fiber.
Yeah, I hate that line.
Eat floor. Okay. Yeah. To me, it was awkward. I know some people who love that, but it just it seemed weird to me.
It's a dumb line.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So, Catwoman cuts the princess's hands free and then leaves with her upstairs. So they get up, she's standing on the ledge, and she's like, I think I talked her out of it. I'm using girl to girl, I think I got this taken right. care of. But then Penguin comes out, throws an umbrella, which releases a bunch of bats that knock her down. And she falls off the ledge and lands on a package... which releases bats out of the Christmas tree.
Bats everywhere.
Yeah, just bats everywhere.
Bats in the belfry.
Into the crowd. So now everybody's like, oh my God, Batman pushed the ice princess. And of course there's spotlights on him and everything.
I did not kill her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
Hi, Penguin. So he narrowly escapes, only for Catwoman to keep to come in and taunt him. And of course he... she's sitting on top of him. He says, mistletoe is deadly if you eat it.
Why would anyone eat mistletoe?
I don't know. I'm sure people do.
I was wondering, was that like a line? Is that like something that's been said over the years? And is that like a common phrase?
Is it?
I don't think so.
I'll look that up.
I've never heard it
until this movie. And I'm like, that's another stupid line.
Yeah, right? A kiss can be deadlier if you mean it. Oh, okay. The will yeah. they want they of Batman and Catwoman. So Batman manages to like...
It's like moonlighting all
he
over
He manages him. To like kick her in the baby maker and he gets up and glides away on his giant bat wings. And Catwoman in the meantime meets up with Penguin. And she's upset because... She said, hey, I thought you were just going to scare the Ice Princess. Catwoman didn't want to kill her. I thought you were just going to scare the Ice Princess. And he goes, well, she looked pretty scared to me, which I think was a good line. But then he asks her to marry him, which is weird. He gives her this ring. He's like, think about it. I'll be the mayor, and I'll go out here, and I'll be doing all this stuff, and... I'll come home and you'll come into the bedroom twitching your tail with my slippers in one hand and a martini in the other. And she goes, she's like, gross. I wouldn't touch you to scratch you.
Right.
And then
the whole movie is doing everything he can think of to get her into bed. Yes. I mean, that's just really what it's like. He's like, okay, none of these other lines work. I'll just ask her to marry me. We'll just go right to that. Route.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
like, because he's like, think about it. You'll be subservient, and I'll be gross. Like, that is the pitch that he just threw to her. And she's like, nah, it's all right. So she's like, no, I wouldn't touch you to scratch you. And then he starts freaking out and starts saying that, no, you were giving me signals. You were sending out signals to me, and now you're doing this. You're just a tease. And
it says mistletoe is known; it's it can be poisonous,
right?
But it can, but it's not. It doesn't kill humans. It can cause drowsiness, blurred vision, vomiting, and even seizures. It is poisonous to animals, so make sure
if you eat too much mistletoe, it can be.
Yes, but she's a cat, so
right.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and he's a bat.
And he's a bat. Oh, yeah. Do you think they really went that deep with this?
Oh, they did.
He was a punk. And
she did ballet. She was a skater boy. She said, "See you later, boy." What a great rhyme.
So.
Oh, the poetry. So,
again, she doesn't want to have sex with him, which means that she's a tease and that she was sending out mixed messages, which is not, you know. Again, I think it goes back to the same shit that we see where we're like, oh, yeah, that's really creepy, guy.
Yeah, it's really creepy.
So he then wraps that flying umbrella around her neck and sends her flying away with it, with her basically hanging in the air.
Yeah.
So he's just going to kill her for not sleeping with him.
Thanks.
Yeah. And he got 6 months in jail.
and kicked off the lacrosse team. Real quick about the part with the umbrella and he puts around her neck.
Yeah.
Like we saw many times throughout the movie his box of umbrellas.
Yeah.
They're all like normal wooden curved handles, right?
Right.
And suddenly like she can't like get out of that. You know, like he just puts it around like she can't just move her chin over and get out of like it just seemed
it's
weird.
It's true. Yeah, it's true.
She couldn't get out of that. I don't mean to pick apart this movie. I love this movie.
I love this movie.
But I'm like, this just seemed weird. Like, well, you couldn't just get out of that and fall to the ground?
Well, she does. Like, even if it was really far around her neck, we've seen her do incredible moves. I'm sure she can do a pull-up and get her neck out of it.
Right.
But eventually she does get away, right? Like, she gets out of it and drops into that greenhouse.
She should be able to get out of that right away.
Yeah, right.
You know, like... So,
and she should be like, what are you doing? And it just flies away without her. She just pushes him off the edge. The end of movie. So she falls into a greenhouse. And then we get that weird moment where she screams and all the glass breaks.
Yeah.
It was very odd.
Because that's what women do, right?
Right. So like Penguin.
Kate Capshaw scream from...
Yeah, right. Yeah. But again, it's like, it's almost like... She's been violated, and she's just releasing all of this, like she's screaming about it. So now we get back to the Penguin, who goes back to his, like, mayor's candidate trailer. And he is on a little version of the Batmobile driving it around.
Yeah, it looks like one of those,
I love
like,
this scene.
Yeah, it looks like one of those bounce-em...
Yeah, like one of those like little things you put a quarter in.
You saw that like the Playland, McDonald's Playland.
Yeah, like that. Yeah. And so he takes over right away and is driving the Batmobile around. And Batman starts ripping pieces of the car out, trying to figure out what's happening. Eventually, he finds the foreign object, which is underneath the car. So he's punching through the floorboard, trying to rip it out. And eventually, he manages to get the swirling... orb device off and take the car back over.
One time he takes a what we assume is a CD.
Yeah.
And because later on we don't know if it is, but it's a CD to tape record him or to record him in a way, right?
Like burning a CD.
Burning a CD, yeah.
So he puts the CD in.
Yeah.
And so he's recording audio. So eventually when Batman gets free, Penguin freaks out because now his ride is over. Like, he was going to do all this horrible stuff in Batman's name. Batman didn't end up hurting anybody. He trashed some cars, but that's about as bad as it got. So the next day, there's a speech that Penguin is delivering as mayor, decrying Batman and everything like that. And Batman, Alfred jams the signal, and Batman... plays the CD of like Penguin's voice that he recorded from the day before, and of course it's like, you know, I played this town like a harp from hell or whatever it was, you know, those wretched pinhead poppets of Gotham.
But then he takes the CD and moves it like a record.
He does like he goes
like two turntables.
We looked at each other like, wait.
Not how
CDs do not work that way.
In fact, you just scratched the hell out of that.
I was waiting for the scene to jump back to him, and he's sitting there with headphones on one ear, and he's doing the scratching, and he's just like, I'm Batman, and I'm here to say, Penguins got bats in the belfry on what I say or whatever. I was just waiting for that scene, and then Alfred in the back just you know, dancing and stuff. I mean, that's really what he was doing. Just doing a little clubbing. You know?
So,
did you notice the CD player had the bat signal on it?
Yeah.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, I want because that.
Why still... didn't we ever get a chance to buy those back in the 90s?
Come on, Sony.
I'll have to send you. There's a picture that I took the other day. Somebody, we were downtown and here in Omaha, and somebody had a car that is all Batmaned out.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's really cool. I stopped and took pictures of it.
Yeah.
I will post that as well. But yeah, so he has his little Batman CD, which is really how Batman gets his money, is through merchandising. So the citizenry start booing, the Penguin, and start throwing eggs and tomatoes and things. And he even comments, "Why do people always bring tomatoes and eggs to rallies?"
Well, you know, you never know. You're gonna get hungry.
You never know. So he then opens fire on the crowd with his umbrella machine gun. But they'll still vote for him. He could shoot somebody on Gotham's Fifth Avenue. They'd still vote for him. So he opens fire with his umbrella and then runs. Penguin flees into the park.
Right. I mean, because he had that Access Hollywood tape that Batman shared to everyone.
Hold on. Let me get my Tic Tacs out. Ha ha. Oh, you pinheads in Gotham. Ha ha. Ha ha.
Go ahead.
So Penguin flees into the park where he dives into the water. And he apparently gets real quick to one of his duck ATV things.
Yeah, those duck things are pretty cool.
If we were in agreement, I think if we could drive one of those around, we probably would.
No, I told you I'd make it into a bed.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. But he drives it to his headquarters, and he reveals what the full plan is. The plan is to kidnap all the firstborn kids of Gotham, and then he's going to kill them. Because he got abandoned. There's one of the clowns on this team was like, "Hey, isn't this a little," and he shoots him, rolls the clown into the water, and he says, "No, it's a lot of," just or whatever, something like that.
Yeah.
Basically, it's pretty extreme. So now Bruce attends what I swear they said is called
the snowball?
The Max Scarade.
Oh, yes.
It's Max. I think he does say Max Scarade.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I always just thought it was Masquerade.
Yeah. It is. Normal people call it that.
And he, you know, he, there's this funny little bit where.
I think it's because the host's name is Max.
Yes, I think so too. Right. There's this little bit where Bruce is,
I'm here all night.
Alfred.
You
Alfred
too?
Brings
Great.
Him the. Tip your waitress. Tip your wait staff.
Fry the veal.
Alfred brings him like a little invitation. He goes, "Well, do you want to go to this?" And he goes, "No." And so Alfred rips it in half and then he goes, "Wait a minute. Yes.
Wait, Selina Kyle will be there."
Yeah. So yeah. And Alfred kind of like gives him the saltiest look and then just walks away. He looks pissed. And so he walks away to go fix the invite. So,
a deleted scene of him just taping it
for like an hour. Bruce and Max kind of just verbally scrap a little bit at the event. Bruce doesn't come in costume.
Well, yeah, they're the only ones not in a mask because they have masks in real life.
Yeah.
We get it.
Yeah. So Bruce sees Selina and she's not dressed up either.
Yes.
And he says sorry about running out the other day.
This is the lamest Eyes Wide Shut party I've ever seen.
Yeah, it is. Somebody dressed as like Karnak from Johnny Carson. That is not.
Or was it the best Eyes Wide Shut movie?
He's dressed like Karnak. That is not going to arouse anybody.
No.
Well, speak for yourself, boys, because I love that hat.
And there's some weird ones in there too. So this is the line that I never really caught before.
Again,
he goes, you know, I'm sorry, for running out the other day. I hope there are no hard feelings. And she goes, yes. No hard feelings. Semi-hard, I'd say.
What?
And I went, what?
And moms just covered their kids' ears.
They were just like,
in the movie theater.
That's right, kids. Come out to this wonderful Christmas movie. And hear all the sexual innuendos you can find.
I know. I never heard that line before today. And I went, what did she say?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, shit. Okay. So they dance, and she's kind of losing it. Like she's having trouble. Romance. What's that?
Nothing. Go ahead.
She's having trouble processing the fact that I think that, you know, like the Ice Princess got killed and like who she's becoming and kind of what she has to do. And she's got that trauma that she's kind of dealing with. So they dance, and she says it reveals that she's there to kill Max. And Bruce is like, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. And says, well, who the hell do you think you are? And she says, you know, I don't really know anymore. And so then they're kind of going to kiss, and they're holding each other, I think, kind of awkwardly, not knowing what's going to happen. And then she says, mistletoe can be deadly if you eat it. And he says...
And he starts vomiting because he ate it.
Because he ate handfuls of it.
Oh
my God.
I've been eating it for years.
Why didn't you tell me sooner?
I thought that was the dip.
Thought there were Skittles. Anyway, so he goes, a kiss can be even deadlier if you mean it. And then that's the moment that it strikes them. Uh-oh. You know, they know who they are. And so she says, oh God, we're not going to have to like fight, are we? And so he suggests that they take it outside so they can talk. So they're starting to move outside. And as they go, there's just a big explosion from the middle of the floor. Everybody goes flying.
Smoke keeps going up.
Yeah.
Surrender, Dorothy!
And Penguin shows up in his little duckmobile. It like lifts up into the air. So it shows up and he says, you know, I'm here to kidnap Chip. Your firstborn son. I'm coming to take him. And Max talks him into taking him instead so that Chip will be fine.
Which is probably good because Chip's probably annoying to like kidnap.
Yeah, I imagine.
Probably would not shut up.
He probably cries a lot, I'm going to guess.
I want my dad.
So,
oh, he's a crier. You can tell he's a crier.
You can tell. It's that, yeah. You can just, it's that mullet. You
God
just
damn it, Chip. You just want to say that every time he gets on screen. Like,
damn it, Chip. Damn
it, Chip.
he's a chip off the old block, isn't he?
Oh!
He'll
be here for 2 weeks now.
So, Chip.
Headlining.
So, Penguin runs off with Max. And in the meantime, Batman runs out because he's going to stop all the kids from getting kidnapped. So he goes and takes them out. He goes and stops the organ grinder from grinding his organ through the streets of Gotham.
Damn it.
And so he goes and stops him. And the only person who comes back is the monkey, who has a note that says, regrettably, the children will not be able to, or they send their regrets, they won't be able to attend.
Right.
And so he knows he's been stopped. So he then calls on his massive penguin army.
Yeah.
Like hundreds and hundreds of penguins.
Yes.
All with rockets strapped to their back.
You said some of them were played by robots.
Some are mechanical. Some are live.
Yeah.
And some are little people in
and
costumes.
And some are played by Rhea Perlman.
Yes.
Oh, Rhea.
Whack, 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 I'm a penguin.
Hey, Sam,
Yeah, if she was playing the penguin, but as Carla from Cheers, now there's a movie.
She's busting like bottles over people's faces. So, for those of you who haven't seen this, yeah, the penguins, little missiles on their back, little helmets that kind of guide them around. Penguin sends them all off. Now, I don't know. I don't think you did, Bradley, but did you ever see any of these kind of toys before?
Which ones?
The Batman Returns toys?
No.
No. I had the Batman, the original Batman, when they came out with movies,
yeah,
or when toys for that first movie. I had those, but I never had like a penguin stuff.
I had from the first movie, and when the second movie, or when the second movie's toys came out, I remember I wasn't really interested in like any of them because I liked my penguin with his umbrella from the Super Friends ones. But what I did love was they advertised they had penguin toys, like actual penguins.
Really?
Not the penguin, but like little penguins with the missiles on their back.
Really?
Yeah. And so you could buy it, but it was a short pack in the set. So
you
had to go hunting for it. So I remember like every time I could, I think I had, they came in like packs of two, and I think I had six of them because I think like every time I could find one, every time I could find one, I would buy one because I liked the idea that Penguin had a penguin
I had a Vicky
Vale. You need an army, yeah.
Yeah, I had a Vicky Vale, and that came with an Alec Baldwin doll, and they would just yell at each other.
Oh, yeah.
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 She that's a Kim Basinger joke.
And the funny thing is, no one's ever a winner in that situation.
So now, he sent his little adorable army out to go blow up Gotham. That's the backup plan. He's going to blow everybody up. And actually, he takes the time to say, we'll blow up all the kids of Gotham. How about everybody? Men and women. There's, you know, everybody's equal. When there are erogenous zones, they're blown across.
I know.
Like, you can't even not be pervy
you
for like 30 minutes,
pervy
Penguin.
All the time. Come on, Bannon.
So they're all running out, and they're going through the streets, and they're going through the streets, and Alfred again gets on that signal jammer, and stops them from blowing anything up. That signal jammer is paying for itself. He has they've gotten their money's worth out of it.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, Batman gets in the Batboat and starts chasing or starts homing in on the signal where the penguins are being directed from. So he's coming after them. And the weird lady with the little poodle thing sees them coming and she kind of like fades away into the darkness. So Penguin starts fleeing on his duck boat thing.
Duck boat.
Oh, and he's driving across the grounds of the zoo when Batman, like, crashes the Batboat. Like, it flies out of a building somehow and right onto the duckmobile. So Batman gets out. He's trying to find Penguin and see where he is. Penguin actually jumps him, which, because I remember this when I was younger. I was like, Penguin can't fight Batman. He's not like a fighting Batman kind of villain. So he jumps him. Batman, of course, flips him. And then he is like, kind of... He has the umbrella, has the sword in it. And he starts coming after Batman with it. Well, eventually he realizes Batman brought all the Penguin army back. And he gets pissed. He's like, my babies! And really starts coming after Batman. Batman holds him off, but then Penguin gets a hold of the remote and that brought them back and pushes the button. So the rockets start going off, but also the Batmobile releases a bunch of bats.
Yeah.
And the bats...
Where do you keep all those bats in the Batmobile?
I don't know. They must have a huge bat problem in Gotham. Like, this is... You put, like, a million of them in a Christmas tree. You had a bunch of them in an umbrella. And now they're, like, in the engine of the Batmobile.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think the Batmobile would run with all those bats in there.
That's what makes it run. They're all like on little wheels. Like
you never see a little hamster habit trail like gassing up.
So the bats can hang on them.
Yes, exactly. Adorable.
Adorable.
The rockets start going off, and his Penguin is stumbling back in the cloud of bats and falls through a skylight in the Penguin area and just falls into the water. And the rockets start blowing up his hideout at this point. So everything's coming crashing down. Max Schreck escapes. He manages to get the keys from the monkey and falls in the water and sees that dead clown who still has a gun. So he grabs the gun. Selena, though, gets to him. He offers her anything she wants, but she wants him dead. Batman tries to stop her, you know, saying, hey, look, you know, I want him to see justice. And she says, the law doesn't apply to people like him or us.
Or us.
Yeah, and he goes, hey, you're wrong on both counts. But he rips off his mask, basically showing, hey, look, it's me. It's Bruce, you know, come on.
It's me. I'm the Batman.
I'm the Batman. So now Max Schreck has to die.
It's me. It's Mr. Mom. That's what he's
So he's unmasked he's pleading with Selena.
Hey, guys, we're going to be going around here. Nice.
Sorry. So Max Schreck is just shocked. Oh, my God. Are you all right?
That was so great. That was such a great impression.
So Max Schreck is just shocked that it's Selena. And, of course, he says she's fired.
Good choice of words. He's shocked.
Yeah.
Then he asks why Bruce is dressed like Batman. She goes, he is Batman, you idiot. Not anymore.
Which is what we're all saying right before she said that.
Right, exactly. Yeah, right. And then he goes, not anymore, and then shoots at Batman. And of course, Selena comes after him. He shoots her a couple times, and she just keeps going. She's like, she's counting down how many lives she's got left.
Are you okay? Yeah, I'm just laughing at that Beetlejuice thing.
So she's counting down how many lives she's got left. When he runs out of bullets, she goes, give me a kiss, Santa Claus, and kisses him through the stun gun.
Yeah.
And grabs a transformer.
That's like her last, her second to last life.
Yeah.
That she says. Yeah.
Yeah. And, which it goes back to the whole, a kiss can be deadly if you mean it.
Right.
Bit. There you go.
Hey, swallow this mistletoe.
It'll save you. So Bruce is digging through the rubble, but only finds Max Schreck's body, and it does look like Large Marge. Yeah, tell him Max Schreck sent you.
They had to just use the same model. That's what I'm saying. It's just throw Large Marge down there. It'll be fine.
Tim Burton's like, get Large Marge.
We got this.
Out of the warehouse. Put her in there.
Actually, little known fact, not a lot of people know this. That was actually Christopher Walken without his makeup.
This is what I look like.
This is what I look like.
Boom.
I'm trying the butter. Yeah.
Butter.
I need more cowbell.
So now Penguin emerges from the water. He's bloodied, so we know he bleeds red, which means that that's not what the blue green goop is.
Whatever.
But he is just hemorrhaging that sludge from his mouth now, like it is that bluish green goo. It's just coming from everywhere, so it's not his blood. So it has to be saliva.
Well, my blood is Nickelodeon gack, so...
So, he pulls an umbrella on Batman, and Batman turns around to see him do it. Of course, when it opens, it's like the little mobile one that turns, and it has, like, little things hanging. And he goes, damn, pick the cute one. Which,
yeah.
One of my favorite bits, because, you know, it was just Danny DeVito being fun. And he says he's going to get one more drink of ice cold water and I'll be with you in a second. And then he just falls over dead. Now the weird part happens.
This is the weirdest part of the movie.
Where
now for the weird part. Yeah.
Now for the odd stuff. This is by far the oddest part. Where six giant penguins, which are little people in penguin costumes,
which must have been just waiting in the wings
in case this happens.
In case this happens,
it's the little known pallbearer penguins. So they come out. And they all stand aside from him, and it looks like they're trying to guide him into the water.
Yeah, but they're not touching him.
But their fins, their little flippers, don't touch him.
So he moves.
Just walking, and he's just sliding in between. It's so weird.
It's the weirdest part of the movie.
And then he just goes in the water. But also the penguins, which are water-based birds, are like, ooh, no thanks.
Ooh,
not
no
the
thank
water.
You. I'll short circuit if I go in there.
Ooh, God, they're dead humans in that.
And well, there's a dead human who apparently ate a bunch of ballpoint pens in there, and they don't want to get any on them.
This is a brand new feather. I can't.
Just glad that, yeah.
So Bruce goes by, I believe he goes by Selena's place, and finds her cat, so he takes it home with him. Anybody remember the name of Selena's cat, by the way?
No.
No.
The one originally inside her house is Miss Kitty. But the black cat that Catwoman had is named Isis.
Oh,
anyway,
yeah.
Jeez. Yeah. And so much stuff applies to today.
So is your stepmom's dog. Though.
This is getting scary now.
Yeah, right? So her cat's name is Mike Pence. Anyway, the
hi guys.
Batman takes the cat home with him. They drive away, and you know, Alfred's like, it's probably not the last we've seen of her. He goes off, and we get a shot of the bat signal in the night sky.
Doo doo.
And we see Catwoman still alive.
Yes.
Kind of stand up and look at it. And that's the end.
You've been deuced.
That last shot, by the way, with Catwoman looking at the bat signal, that was an added shot.
Yeah.
At the very last minute, which cost $250,000, and Michelle Pfeiffer isn't even the one in the scene.
Yeah,
really?
Right? Oh, yeah, I read that. I was like,
that's crazy.
It'll be fun to add that in, and they put that in, and it cost them an extra $250,000.
Wow. Well, because I think it was because test audiences were like, well, she's alive,
yeah,
right?
Right.
Because they couldn't handle the uncertainty of whether she was alive or not.
So well, that's of course she's alive. She did the whole countdown for us on who all took each of her 8 of the 9 lives. We knew she had one left.
Right. She had one left. All right, that's what we thought of it, but let's hear what other people thought of it. This review is from John Brooks. He says 4 out of 10, calls it boring. If given a little bit more content, Tim Burton couldn't have made something good out of this, but it's just paper thin. Whereas the first one, where the first one had lightness about it and a very good rhythm, action, and fitting humor, this one is explosions, explosions, and more explosions. It takes itself seriously as far too little matter at its core, and has quickly paid off to the excitement of seeing Penguin or Catwoman. Then it's just some lame, or it's some of the lax rhythm, and it's too predictable and thin. So that's what that guy said about
fake
that.
News.
Fake news. This person gives it a This person gives it an 8 out of 10. They are called Insomniac Rod. Okay, oh. Which I do believe that's.
Wait.
What go ahead.
What? That's his name?
Yep. Yeah. Insomniac Rod.
Good luck with that.
Who's
right.
been who is writing at 2 o'clock in the morning? Is a meth addict.
Because of his rod, yeah.
And he says it's all about Tim Burton. 8 out of 10. He says the best Batman movie of the '90s, no doubt about it. This movie takes place in the city filled with nightmares. What? Okay.
Fine. I just laughed because his other choices of Batman movies in the 90s are Batman Forever
right.
and Batman and Robin.
Right. It's yeah. Yeah. It's like
oh,
saying
yeah. And Michael Keaton's original Batman, that's the best one of the 80s. Also the only one.
Yeah.
But that's cool.
Yeah.
Whatever.
It's all right. Yeah.
It's yeah.
Sorry.
It's like saying this one smells like a burp and the other one smells like farts. We get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
Although the villains are somewhat cheesy, they fit perfectly in the movie tone of colorful but nightmarish cinematography. Don't get fooled by the cheesy outfits. This is a movie in the pure style of Burton. That can't be described. Burton is a director that took the Batman franchise to another obscure level, but not forgetting about its comic style past. Recommended for fans of action cinema, and best of all, if it deals with superheroes. So that's what they say about it. So, that's pretty fair. I mean,
I
give it a 7. I give it an 8. This is a good Batman movie.
Yeah.
You know.
So. It was never going to live up to the original one.
Yeah.
I mean, the original was so good.
Right.
But this is a good... Compared to what we got after this...
Yeah.
I mean, the other two after this, this one is a solid second movie.
Yeah, and there's parts of it that don't... that feel dated and, like, don't hold up very well.
You know, and I think that, like, we look so, like... By the time it gets to the Schumacher ones, I'm like, Jesus, these are over the... Actually, the third one's over the top. The fourth one was way over the top. But when I look back at this, I think I look so negatively at the Schumacher ones that I stopped paying attention to the fact that when I'm watching this, there are definite cheesy moments where I'm like, oh, God, what? Like, that's over the top. But I don't think I really paid that much attention to it because of how bad in comparison the Schumacher ones are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, that was my dog. He agreed with you, by the way.
Excellent. Well done, Pop.
He's just wondering where his food is.
Well done, Gatsby.
You'll get fed when you get fed. All right, sorry. I agree. Like, the Schumacher ones, like, just to jump on what you're saying, the Schumacher ones were so crazy that this one, yeah, might have had over-the-top moments, like you said, but this, I mean, compared to, like, Bat Nipples, this one was fantastic.
Yeah, right. Well, and I liked, when I was in high school, I loved the third one. Not as much as this.
I liked the third because of Jim Carrey. Everyone
yes.
liked Jim Carrey.
Yeah. And I always wanted a Riddler. My favorite is the Riddler. So I always wanted him in a movie. I still don't think it quite lived up to it, what I would want, but it was something, and I was really excited about that. So I was willing to forgive a lot.
So Jim, we go through 5 questions at the end of our show. And we'd like to go through them right now with you, if that's okay. Go ahead.
Okay.
So, what do you think is the best part of this movie?
You want me to go first?
Yeah, sure.
I'm a good first goer. Okay. I mean, the fact that this is a Batman movie that focuses more on the villains, I do enjoy Danny DeVito's performance, and I enjoy Michelle Pfeiffer's performance very well. Tim Burton's visuals as far as Gotham themselves are great, but my favorite is the umbrellas. Gotta like the umbrellas. In fact, you were like, I would take those umbrellas and I would be a villain myself.
I'd call you the umbrella fella.
You'd be a hero.
I'd be a superhero with
umbrellas. I called you the umbrella fella.
Called the umbrella fella.
Oh, I got a snort on that one.
It's a sequel to Cinderfella with Jerry Lewis.
It is I, Umbrella Fella.
That's the deuce of
I
Cinderfella.
Think the, what they did with the tricks and gadgets, I really liked about this movie.
Yeah.
So, I would say I like their takes on Catwoman and Penguin. Like, Joker was Joker, and you could do Joker really twisted and... I mean, Joker, after the movie, did kind of change a lot in the comics. I think they started exploring, like, how twisted he was. But Catwoman and Penguin, like, this kind of took them to different levels, too. They stopped making Penguin look like, I'm a gentleman wearing a top hat. Like, he became more crime bossy.
Yeah.
And Catwoman, they started making her more of, like, instead of just being like, if this is just me... You know, I'm going to wear you down, and one day you'll be my husband, Batman. Instead of, like, working on that, it was, like, her being a strong feminist kind of character. Mm-hmm. And so I think they changed a lot. I like in this movie the kind of struggle that Catwoman has, and I think it represents a lot with, like, you know, you have people who have trauma from abuse, and you have people who are struggling with, like, societal norms versus being kind of that independent woman and kind of going back and forth between that. So I think they do a lot.
Got deep for you, huh?
Yeah.
Huh? Right? Got deep. You like got that? Real deep.
You what like about that? You, Tom? What's your favorite part of the movie?
Wow, you got deep there. Now I feel like whatever I say would be stupid.
Well, because that's normal, right?
Was it penguins? Is it penguins?
I like the colors. Yeah. No, I was going to kind of what you were saying about the penguin. Like, they got away from his, he got away from him being like the Monopoly guy with the monocle, you know? I liked the way they just had him look. They had him look like not a man who just tries to talk like what you think a penguin would talk. They tried to make him look like a penguin. And with the curved, you know, spine and the way he walked and waddled and stuff. And then just the penguin itself, the way they made him look was probably my favorite part. And then if I had to pick out a specific part in the movie, it was what we talked about earlier when he rides his umbrella away like a helicopter.
Oh,
I love
best.
That. Because that's just like a throwback for me. So
yeah.
Yeah. Although now that I'm older and I look at the physics of it, I'm just like, you know, you probably would have flown better if those, like, because the fabric pieces in between like the little spines fall out, and it's just the
don't
wire
take
part.
Away Tom's favorite part
I'm
of the
just
movie.
Saying, like I watched
James,
it, like,
Jeremy, you're now after all this time us talking, you're now trying to add physics to this movie.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
All right. What's question two, Jeremy?
So the second question is, would you reboot, continue, or cancel
the
series?
Okay, so this question just kind of answered itself, though, right? I mean, they kind of...
Well, they continued it.
Are we talking, would we, if at the time?
Yeah, so have... like, would you... Well, here, so I'll answer. I said continue, but with Tim Burton.
Yeah, continue with Tim Burton.
Like I would
or
have liked to
continue with
where
a better director.
I would like to see where, like a Tim Burton take on the Riddler or Two-Face as opposed to Joel Schumacher's.
Right.
Like, I watched the show once, you know, and then make it campy and over the top. Like, I want to see what Tim Burton would have done with it. Or, like, you know, giving it to a different somebody else who had, like, a like similar tone to the films.
Even a Del Toro.
Oh, that'd be crazy.
Yeah, that'd be crazy, but that'd be good. Yeah, no, I agree with you. Yeah, why not? Just
yeah,
let,
that's
you know.
What I mean by, like, continue. I mean, yeah. Like that, not, yeah. You know, the way it went.
Yeah.
I would do, if we're talking about, like, after this movie, are we going to continue it? Like, I would have done the same thing with Tim Burton, which they were planning to do, I believe. I think there's a lot out on the internet about what his third movie with Michael Keaton was going to be, and with Two-Face and... In the Riddler and stuff, I wish we could have saw that movie, his third version of the movie. So, because if you read up a lot about what he was going to do with the franchise, very cool. And then of course he got out and they brought Schumacher in and stuff, and we got what we got. But so I would have continued it in Burton's world.
Correct.
So
yeah, agreed. I agree. All right, question three.
Let's see here. Do you think this movie stands on its own?
I think it does. I mean, for the most part, I think it does.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not
yeah,
really...
Definitely.
There's a callback at the first movie, but really we don't need that. I think that's just lip service for the fact of them smacking their lips together, you know?
Ooh. Yeah.
But that's, you know, yeah. I think it does.
I don't think, like, the stuff that comes up with Vicky Vale, I don't think you need to... rely on too
no,
much. Like
not
it's
really.
Not like it's integral to the story. It's just part of his history.
And he always is kind of a bachelor in a way.
Yeah,
so it's like, you know, doesn't really matter.
Yeah. You know.
So yeah, I think
it stands on its own.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Let's see. Does it make you want to see the first one?
Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I'm going to watch the first one tonight after we got off the phone.
Because
I love the first one and I bought all these on Blu-ray one year, and I was like, I really want to watch the first one again, because I love Michael Keaton as Batman, so like, you only get two movies with him. I saw this one again, so I gotta go back and watch the first one, so yes, definitely.
I would too, and it's been years, and I'm talking like at least a decade since I've seen the first movie, and I think it would be good to go back and watch it again.
Honestly, I don't think it holds up as well as this one does.
The first one?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Like I've gone back and watched it, and it was kind of like, Oh. Like, I don't know. There's something about it. Like, I think this one was the first one that I was, like, really excited about on my own. Like, when I watched the other one, people were like, look, it's Batman.
Yeah.
And this was the first one where it's like, oh, my God, Batman.
We were still kind of kids back then.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, to me, this one just speaks that much louder to me. I don't know why. It just always has. But yeah, I haven't seen it. I kind of want to watch the first one.
I kind of want to watch the first one because there's just so much of a focus on Joker anyway.
Yeah.
In just pop culture itself.
Yes.
And who's the best Joker? Is it Heath Ledger? Is it Jared Leto? Because obviously it's Jared Leto, right?
But each of those...
You're not going to slap me?
Okay. No. but each Joker, honestly, each Joker represents like a different period and how the writers see him.
That's true.
I mean, when you look at like the old campy 60s thing, I mean, that's kind of how Joker was back then. Literally, capers that he had, they used to call them boners. They'd be like, Joker has a boner that blah blah blah. Like,
what?
Yeah, they used to call his crimes boners.
Really?
Yeah.
So they were Mike Seaver's friend from Growing Pains.
Okay. Yes. But then you get into like in the 80s.
Sorry, I think that was Family Ties. Sorry.
It's okay.
That was Family Ties. It's okay.
It'll all be okay. Yeah. But in the 80s, he was getting a little bit more dark.
I was trying to think of the Growing Pains one.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
But by the 2000s, he was like, Joker was a super twisted character. I think the worst is Jared Leto.
Yeah, kind of.
Because he just tried to be like, I don't think he understands the character. It's where there was a very brief period where they tried to make Joker like he was a gangster. And it just did not work out.
Well, I think it was like Jared Leto, it was kind of like, I got to be crazy. Look at me. Because that's all what Joker is. And Joker is a little bit more than that.
Right.
You know, something that Heath Ledger brought to the role.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Our last question.
Last question. Summarize your experience in two words.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
Me?
Yep.
I'm Batman.
That's your experience.
Yeah, no.
Why? Okay, go ahead.
No, I just could follow up.
Follow up?
A good follow up.
Good follow up. Is follow up one word or two words?
It's a hyphenated? Yeah.
I think it's three words, but.
No, it's not.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give it to you. Why? Good follow up? Just
follow up? Okay. That's all I'll say it.
Tom, what are your two words?
My two words would be, if I renamed the movie, I would rename it Batman Foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is it called Batman Returns?
In the very beginning, you see Penguin as a little baby, and he takes the cat, foreshadowing what's going to happen.
True.
Later on, there's the mistletoe line. There's a bunch of foreshadowing moments in this. And let's not forget, this whole movie is now what we are living through in this country. Is what foreshadowed back in 1992. It foreshadowed 2017. So there
that's
you
a
go.
Good
Batman
question.
Foreshadowing. That's my
why is this movie called Batman Returns? What is he returning from? This movie deals a lot with the villains.
Oh, the store or something? I don't know.
Batman returns his movies to
Blockbuster.
Returns from Blockbuster. Yeah, that's a good one.
I've returned my movies.
Yeah,
but yeah, this movie is very like villain centric.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. There was at one point, I think it's when like Bruce is just sitting watching something on TV, and all of a sudden I had to think, "Holy shit! When's the last time I saw Batman on screen?"
Yeah,
like he just disappears.
Right. My two words.
Yeah.
Are Grimace Premise. Now you ask yourself, what does Grimace Premise mean, right? Premise means, and now this is a fine movie, but there's a ton of plot, but the execution is just two short hands sticking out from the plot.
What?
Yeah, Grimace Premise.
There's a lot of the middle part.
Yeah.
And just two little things on the little Grimace arms.
Would you like one's Catwoman, one's the Penguin. Hi, I'm Grimace. Yeah.
Would you say it's not two short hands, it's two short flippers?
Ooh, there you go.
Yeah.
I'll be here all month now. Thank you. Straight through Christmas into the new year.
Really, I'm just hungry for chicken McNuggets. All right. Thank you, Tom, for being here in this episode of Batman Returns.
So, hey, real quick.
Yeah.
Tom and Jim's Top 5. Why don't you take a minute and just tell us about the show a little bit?
Sure. Tom and Jim's Top 5, I do it with my best friend Jim, and we named top 5 things that we love. And a lot of times we talk 90s things, like our latest episode just came out, we're in our Christmas episodes here, and so we did our top 5 favorite SNL Christmas skits. Nice. And that was a lot of fun. And next week we're going to record here, maybe today we're going to record our top 5 Christmas things to eat or drink. So
not mistletoe. Not mistletoe.
Not mistletoe, and I'm going to bring that up actually on the show. Like, I'm not eating mistletoe because I learned from the guys at the Deuce that I could die. it's our show. We just do a top 5 show on anything and everything. We do movies, TV, toys. We've talked about everything. We've been just over a year now. We've been doing it, and it's a blast. And you can find it on Podbean and Stitcher and iTunes and all those fun places.
So. Excellent.
It's a great show. I love it. It is.
Yeah,
thank you.
We love your show.
We appreciate all your support. So. Mm-hmm.
But of course.
But where can people find us, Jeremy?
Pretty much the same places. So Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play Music, iTunes, anywhere else like that. You can also go to our Facebook page. We'll post different things there. We'll post surveys or fun news or just, you know, fun pictures. Different things like that. So,
okay. So thanks again, Tom, for talking with us here today for about Batman Returns.
Thank you.
Yeah, pass our best on to Jim.
Yes. Remember, the sequel is King. And Tom, I'm going to hang up and I'm going to call you back in 5 minutes.
Sounds good.
All right. And the sequel is King. Time.